Welcome to the podcast of Seven Rivers Presbyterian Church in Lecanto, Florida. Our passion is to be a church that enjoys God, experiences His grace, and reflects His love to our community and beyond. To join our local body in financial support of this ministry, visit our website at sevenrivers.org.
Those who are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Tonight, we're looking at Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And thinking of this theme, Jesus on mission for us and with us. Jesus on mission for us and with us. Famous story of Zacchaeus. Hear God's Word. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Can we say that last verse together, verse 10? Kind of Jesus, it's the mission statement of Jesus. If he's our Lord, it's ours also, right? Let's say that together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, as we begin, we ask your Holy Spirit to come help me. I'm weak, I'm needy, it's hard to do this important work. I need your Holy Spirit. All of us need your Holy Spirit. Show us, Lord, through your word tonight, show us your love and your grace to sinners like Zacchaeus, like us, and put us on mission with you, Lord, like Zacchaeus and like these others we think about tonight. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. This person up here, do you know who this is? This guy? He led the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 8th, 1941. Some of you say he doesn't know his history. It was December 7th. In Japan time, it was December 8th. He woke up on his aircraft carrier praying to his 8 million gods. In Japan, they think they're 8 million gods. In the name of that flag that's out there, Japanese, that flag would never be in a Christian church in Japan. I want to say, "Blair, you know that. Come on, I wanted to jump up and pull it down." You know, it represents emperor worship and the conquering of Asia in the name of all of that Japanese religion. Well, he woke up praying to his gods and to the emperor, and the ships were in the harbor, and they killed 2,000, several hundred Americans that day. And this next guy, Jake DeShazer, when he got the word in California, an Army Air Corps, we didn't have an Air Force then, he threw his coffee cup against the wall, he broke it, and he said, "Oh, I want to kill Japanese people. I want to go kill Japanese people." And he volunteered for a secret mission that turned out to be the famous Doolittle Raid, you know, where we took Air Force, kind of Army Air Corps, big bombers, not Navy airplanes that could take off from aircraft carriers, stripped them down, just enough gasoline to get and attack Japan 4 months later after Pearl Harbor, and then crash land in China, be rescued by the Chinese national under the underground who were fighting the Japanese, who were brutalizing China. And Jake was, he killed many Japanese. He hated the Japanese. And could he ever be a person of love and be on mission with Jesus? Didn't seem like it. And then it got worse because he was captured by the Japanese, put in Nanking, a prisoner of war, a prisoner camp in a cell in Nanking, China, where he was brutalized even more. You think he hated Japanese people before, even more after that. And Jake, in his prison, boy, he, you know, filled with hate and brutalized. You've seen how hard it was for the Japanese were just so hard on their prisoners. The Nazis had a much higher percent of prisoners of war who live through imprisonment with the Nazis than the Japanese did. But they let him have a Bible. And he's reading the Bible in his cell. And he gets the story of the crucifixion. And Jesus prays to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Jake is converted in his cell. There's no one telling him the gospel, just reading the Bible. And he prays to God. He changes. He tries to love the people brutalizing him, the Japanese guards. Do you think he'd love them perfectly? No. But he did. He was growing. He was changing as a new creation. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. He was new. And he prayed to himself. He prayed to God in his heart, "Lord, if I ever get out of here," and so many didn't, "if I ever get out of here, I want to be a missionary to," no, Japan? Yes, isn't this counterintuitive? The gospel makes us new. We're new in Christ and new on mission. We're going to see today. This is what Jake wanted. He went to Japan. Long story short, you know, a guy knocks on his door one day. Guess who it was? Commander Fuchida. Next slide. Commander Fuchida got a tract about Jake, and he wanted to know about this Jesus that changed Jake from a hater. Hey, when we think of not getting along, I know Seven Rivers Church, everybody gets along perfectly, and all your marriages are great. If these two can be brothers in Christ, right? Trying to kill each other. This is what the gospel does and puts us on mission. We want to think about that today. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And at the end here, we'll learn about, all of us are involved in this, a young lady who was part of leading Jake, part of this story of Commander Fuchida coming to know Christ. Jesus is on mission to find lost people. He delights to use all of us in that, like Zacchaeus, like Shazar, like Fuchida, like me, this proud, self-righteous Pharisee Marine, because that's what Jesus, his name means to save. Remember, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sin." That's what his name means. He makes us new and puts us on mission. Well, let's think about Zacchaeus a little bit first, from verses 1 to 3. How lost Zacchaeus was. It looks like he had a lot. It looks like he'd be happy. It says in verse 2, he's rich. Oh yeah, riches make you happy, right? Japan's one of the richest countries in the world. And Japan is so miserable. Rich in money and all kinds of stuff, but so poor. And the gospel asks people sometimes, do you think Japan, poor, dirt poor Japan, bombed out Japan after World War II, do you think Japan, you know, Japan is famous for its high suicide rate. Do you think the suicide rate was higher when Japan was poor after World War II? Or now today when Japan is very, very rich? Which do you think? Oh, riches make you happy, right? Like Zacchaeus would have been. Yeah, I used this illustration a couple months ago here on Home Assignment. And there was a gentleman, I found out later, was very poor, sitting kind of on the front row. And as I asked that question rhetorically, which do you think was the suicide rate the highest when Japan was really, really poor, or now that Japan is very, very rich? And this man kind of said it back to me. He said, when Japan was poor. But the answer is, you want to guess? Now. Because riches don't make us happy, which we all no, the poor man thinks, if I have more riches, I'll be happy. And the rich man thinks, I just need a little more. True abundance, as Jesus said. He came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. Zacchaeus also has a high position, says in verse 2. He's the chief tax collector. We think sometimes position and, you know, having a high position will make us fulfilled and happy. Evidently not. He's lost in his sin and self-centeredness, using his position for his own gain. And in taking money from people that he shouldn't take. We think things will satisfy. Does sin, I want to ask everyone, has the sinful things of life that are your temptations, have they ever fulfilled and satisfied you? Ultimately, over time, ever. All those things, the things that, you know, you would not want anyone sitting around you to know about your life. Those things, and none of them, they don't, you know they don't. And the you know, I think for me, the success and achievement, idols, as a Marine captain and then as a missionary, and, you know, coming back to that room 29 years ago and seeing your church, and my friend from seminary, a church is born, all these new people, elders, people coming to faith. What they were doing that night, the elders were doing interviews for all these new members. And we've been in Japan 4 years. And nothing hardly, and it was so good for this proud Marine to learn about finding my hope in Christ, not in success or achievement, that none of those things work, do they? They don't. We see in verse 3, Zacchaeus, he's seeking, we know he's looking for something. He's searching, he wants to meet Jesus, he even climbs up in the tree, a grown man climbing up in a tree so he can see and meet this Jesus. Maybe you're here today thinking, you know, what are you trying to be satisfied with in your life? Maybe you're a Christian who's away from Christ. Maybe you're a growing Christian, but you have the struggle with something, you know, or maybe you're not a Christian yet, and thinking about these things, money, security, if I have enough for retirement, comfort, power, position, promotion, looks, all these things. As we get older, we don't care much about that, right? When we're young, boy, that was so important to me, and all those things. None of those, you know, Jesus is the one who satisfies. He's our true Savior. You know, someone might say, if I was the third best in the world at something, if I was the third best looking, third richest, third best retirement preparation, you know, third best in sports, Dan, I think I'd be happy. Right, you know, third best church planner in Japan, you know, or you remember the 1964 Olympics? The Japanese marathon runner hit the hope and the pressure from the country on Kokichi was that he would be number one in the world, and he was number three in the world. He came in number three in the Tokyo Olympics, 1964. Anybody remember what he did? He took his own life sometime after that. Because even number three in the world. But it's not enough, is it? It's not. If he was number one, would he have been fully satisfied? Don't you wish someone in this lost country of Japan could have known him, and a Christian could have said, Kokichi, there's a God who you have value because God made you, your created being, and Jesus and his love, and could share this. It's not about being number one or number three or anything. Wish someone could have told him that, and he could have seen that. Carol and I, you know, good things can be these idols too. Carol and I have really seen the last 5 years our family idolatry. You know, we want our kids to know Christ. Of course, good things can be idols. Our 9 children, by God's grace, know Christ and following Christ and serving Christ. But it was, you know, we came to realize that we really had, you know, discipling our kids, teaching them about Jesus, that was it for God's glory? Yes. Was it for them? Yes. You know who else it was for? It's for us. To make us look good because of our kids. Anybody know about that? How it's the things, you know, the kids struggled, it would reflect bad on us, and we cared for the kids, yes. But a lot of it was about us. And to go to each of our kids has been a hard but a very good thing because of the gospel. To go to our kids and say, you know, we really messed up in so many ways. Please forgive us. And have lengthy discussions with each of them about those things, because God is a God of grace and love and mercy. And Jesus comes to seek lost people. That he came to seek and to save the lost people. Christian, missionary, pastor who messes up raising our kids, Carol and I, a husband and spouse who fail in so many ways. We see in verses 5 through 7 that Jesus, he's seeking and loving this lost Zacchaeus, isn't he? You know, look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. The crowds are there, all these people there, but he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus and he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Isn't that great? Jesus beads in on Zacchaeus. He's seeking this lost, sinful, messed up guy. "Zacchaeus, are you moved by Jesus seeking you? If you're here today, it's because he's been through his spirit working in you or something. Could you have saved yourself? Can you save yourself? Why are you here?" You know, Jesus seeks and saves the lost. Do you know the story of Jessica Buchanan, captured by Somalia land pirates in 2011, about 9 years ago now. She was brutalized. They were demanding a $40 million ransom. She had no hopes. 32-year-old American, were there doing good things, serving as an aid worker in Somalia. And she was brutalized, had no hope. She desperately needed saving. She could not save herself, like Zacchaeus, like you and me. No hope. Through a proof of life video, as she's explaining over the video how her physical situation, they could tell that she's dying and is close to death. They would move her every 2 days because they were worried another one of those bad groups would come and get her and would demand. These 20 guys would lose her to another group and would get the $40 million ransom they were demanding. So in the middle of the night, pitch black dark one night, she's there, no hope, can't save herself. She's on this little, all she had was her clothes, a pair of shoes, and a camping mat. In the middle of the night, all chaos breaks loose in the camp. Gunfire, and she, "Oh no, another one of the groups is coming." She's just down as low as she could be on the mat so a bullet doesn't hit her. And just imagine what she's going, all that she's been through, 93 days already. And then the gunfire stops. She feels a man's hands on her back. And she just, she's fighting. She's thinking it's another bad guy group. And all of a sudden she hears in perfect American English, "Jessica Buchanan, we're taking you home." She looks up and sees a Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6 guy, look with his night vision goggles on, and he throws her on. Well, before he threw on her his back, she says to him, "Hey, Navy SEAL guy, I got this. I can save myself. I don't need you guys." Anybody think she said that? You're supposed to laugh then, you know. Of course not. In fact, she didn't even have a chance, like our rescue. He threw her on his back, running through the desert to the landing zone, and rescue. And they formed a perimeter, and until her helicopter was gone, they stayed to rescue her, that she who could not rescue herself. They had parachuted in, flew from America, parachuted in, hiked through the night, risked their lives to save her. She said, "They came to save me." Well, we have a better story. None of those guys died that night. They were obeying their orders. It's a great story. Recon Marine, I love that story. But our rescue is better, isn't it? The eternal Son of God who came from heaven, he came to seek and to save the lost. Do you think Jessica Buchanan, what do you think she was thinking about on that helicopter ride to safety out of Somalia? Do you think she could think of anything else other than her rescue? Do you think when she woke up and sick and everything in the hospital in Germany, what percent of the next day do you think she thought of her rescue and those guys who saved her? 1 minute? 5 minutes? I'm sure over and over again, she's playing it back in her mind. "Jessica Buchanan, we're taking you home." You know, you imagine. I'm sure it faded over time, but think about us sometime. How doesn't our rescue fade from our memory? It's one of the reasons we worship, to remember, sing songs, hear God's word, and remember our rescue. Because so often we're not moved by our rescue, that Jesus is on mission for us. But we also see Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Verse 5, isn't that great? It's another thing that should move us, like John 10:3. He calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. It's our doctrine of particular atonement. It's not just some high-in-the-sky doctrine. It's a wonderful doctrine. If you're here and you believe in Jesus Christ and you're his, is that because you're smarter than other people? Is it because you're more moral than other people? Is that why you've been rescued and saved by him? You're just a better person or lucky? No. It's he came and called you by name before the foundation of the world. This is a precious doctrine that should move us, yes, to give thanks. Actually, Jessica Buchanan, back to that story. You go online, Google her, and listen to her story. It took her a couple years before she could tell about it. It was so traumatic, of course. But she says one of the most moving things for her was, they called me by name. They called me by name. And then she finds out the President of the United States knew her name. Hey, we have better news. The God of the universe called you by name if you know Jesus. Doesn't that move us? We see verse 7. We see he takes our shame also. Look at this, verse 7. When they saw it, all the crowd, these self-righteous people, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now think about it. I learned this from a Japanese pastor. I'd read this passage like all of us a thousand times. And it was a Japanese pastor sermon that I came to see. What Jesus did here, taking the shame of Zacchaeus, instead of going with the crowd, the big, he went with the evil guy, the sinner, the lost person, and received the scorn and the shame of the whole crowd because he came to save Zacchaeus. And what do we think? We think of the cross and Jesus taking our shame, our guilt. He who knew no sin became sin for us. How could that not move us? Jessica Buchanan, when those seals were rescuing her and they formed her, they thought there was danger, they formed a perimeter around her. She tells her story. These three guys, she had no idea who they were, didn't know their names. Three of them put their bodies over the top of her to protect her from a bullet, to take a bullet for her. They took, but we have a better story. We know about Jesus who took what we deserve, the death we deserve on the cross. How could we not be moved by this? Yet I know I've cried telling that story, because I really like that story, but why don't I weep as I preach and think about the cross of Jesus and what he did for me? Because we get used to it, don't we? We get used to what Jesus did for us. But we see Zacchaeus' response as he sees Jesus loving him this way, taking his shame in verse 8. Look at Zacchaeus. And he stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." You know, that when, like Zach de Chazar, and like Commander of Cheetah, when we're changed by Jesus, we become new creations. And one of the things, we become generous. He's going to give away, you know, pay four times what he embezzled, give half of what he has to the poor. We can't help but be different when we're rescued by Jesus. There has to be a result. His mission statement becomes our mission statement. I think I have a slide that says that he's our Lord. So, of course, you know, we see what Zacchaeus does. Imagine Zacchaeus going to the people to give back fourfold, knocking on their door. They see Zacchaeus, this guy they all hated, who swindled everybody. And he says, "I'm giving you four times what I swindled you." What a chance. What a chance to tell about Jesus who came. He called me by name. You know, we see the woman at the well. When she's made new, she brings the whole city. This is what we do. That this is so connected. Jesus on mission for us, and then we go on mission with him. I saw your sign out there you referred to, Chad, of this is part of your church, to care to be a church, to reach your city and love and serve your city and the whole world. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Being new in Christ does mean, we all know this, right? We all know verse 17. If I memorize it, you know, when I was a kid, If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I always, yes, when I was in college and really began to grow as a Christian, praying, Lord, help me to be new, sexual purity, want to read my Bible, want to follow you, was really growing as a Christian. But I hadn't seen that it's new in connection to mission, isn't it? Look at verse 18. What does it say? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And what's the result of being new? And let's read it together. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see this? Part of being new in Christ is we have this new, we're on mission with Jesus. And the next verse is the same thing, verse 19. Same thing. That is Christ, that Christ, God was in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Okay, he's rescued us. Let's read the last together there. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Right? You agree? This verse we all know, being new, the context here, other things, of course, but being new here is being a part of what Jesus is doing in the world, that he's rescuing, he's going out, yes, to Central Florida and to the lost nations of the world, like our country, Japan. There's a whole huge lost world out here that needs the gifts of Seven Rivers Church and the people here. You're giving, you're praying, you're going to help reach the rest of the world. You know, I mentioned that in seminary, my wife and I, we had not thought for one second in our lives that we would go to another country. Right, Carol? One second. Wasn't even on the radar. And we saw the whole Bible's full of it. Some of us need to go, that God might call some of you here to go. Or to be radical senders. I'm back in America 7 months this time. I'm amazed how many Christians I meet in America everywhere compared to our country, you know. I came to Orlando to speak at Reform Seminary, and second week back, and went in a barber shop. You might say, why do you need to go to a barber shop, Dan? You don't have much hair. Yeah, okay, be nice to me, please. I'm a guest preacher, you know. And went in the barbershop, and the barber's a new Christian reading the book of Isaiah, like the Ethiopian. He wasn't reading Isaiah 53, but he was reading Isaiah, you know. Had fellowship, talked to him, this new Christian. Second day in Orlando, in a Panera Bread, saw two Christians having Bible study. You know, went up, talked to them, amazed, 2 days in a row. Third day, another different Panera in Orlando, and two ladies from a church, talking about their church, and went up, talked to them. I'm just amazed. I'm on an airplane flying back from Jackson, Mississippi. One of our Japanese guys graduated RTS, Reformed Seminary, Orlando, and he was being ordained there, and I went to preach there. And flying back from Jackson to Atlanta, guy sitting next to me, we got talking. Turns out he's a Christian. And the next guy, three in a row, men, all Christian, I think, in my 33 years in Japan, I think I've met 10 Christians just out and around that way. There's so many places in the world with all the needs of America, and we need to start churches and grow, but we, you know, to these places, the unreached people groups like Japan, where we need the biggest, richest church in the world, the American church, in so many ways to be a part of that. It's like if we're coming to carry the telephone pole, the kingdom telephone pole, there's one at this end and 10 at that end, and we say, Jesus, you know, I'm coming to help carry the kingdom telephone pole. And most people go where there's 10 or 100, really, in many ways. We need people to come and come to the places where there's so few. Let's make some application to this. Giving, going, and praying. Zacchaeus becomes generous. I want you to think and pray. In response to Jesus, his rescue of you, how might he call you with your giving, with your going to be a part, with your praying? Zacchaeus became generous. We're in Japan because of your church and 22 other churches, PCA churches, who give, and about 45 individuals, many of whom have given every month for now 34 years. We have some who have never missed a month. In 34 years. Are they partners, do you think, in what we're doing in Japan? Was it only 20 SEALs who rescued? Any military people in here? Raise your hand. Military. How many people were really involved in that operation to rescue Jessica Buchanan? One guy I met last week said thousands. From the satellites that found out where she was to the people who flew the airplanes, the helicopter. You know, that's what we're on. We're on a mission, and all of us have different parts to be a part of taking this gospel to the ends of the earth, you know? The guy who I mentioned who was ordained in Jackson, Mississippi, he quit his job after the tsunami, and he's taking a group of people from Park City's Presbyterian Church in Dallas to help the relief effort up north in Japan. And a young gal in her 20s, she's in the truck. They're delivering water and gasoline so people can flee from the reactor. And she says, "Ochan, what do you want to do?" He said, "I want to go to seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, because I came to Christ through singing black gospel music." Yes, in Japan, thanks to the Sister Act movie. People want to sing black gospel music. "I came to Christ through singing black gospel music. I want to go where I can sing black gospel music with the real thing and come back to Japan." She says, "What a vision." Young 20, girl in her 20s says, "I want to give you $10,000 to help you do that." Because she had just received it. "I've just received an inheritance and I want to tithe it. I've been praying, where do I tithe my inheritance that I've received from a relative? And I want to give $10,000 to you." Praise the Lord that her mommy and daddy taught her to give generously and to tithe, and that she wanted to do that. He's a pastor now, but he's back in Japan to be a church planner with his wife and kids. See, all of us are part in different ways. You know, teaching our kids and grandkids to be on mission with Jesus and to be generous people. We're going to sing "All for Jesus" later, you know? And it's not just words, that our grandkids and kids and say, "Yeah, you know, it's not just words. Mommy and daddy, they mean that. Grandpa, they mean that. I see it by the way they live." We see our kids, we raise our kids, we saw our kids were pretty selfish and like mom and dad, and we hardly, you know, do we really sacrifice for Jesus very much? And so Carol and I, we decided two times we did this for a week. We're going to do oatmeal only, breakfast, lunch, and supper, that we would and be able to give what we save to, you know, to help poor people somewhere in the world. It was so good for our kids. It got a little hard, oatmeal, morning, noon, and night, you know, and mom and dad got a little weak about Wednesday, and we started allowing brown sugar and fruit, you know, also. But we did just oatmeal, and our kids, if you talk to our kids today, it was a, you know, I'm not saying you should do that or something like that, but thinking, how can we, as a community, how much do we really sacrifice when we think of what Jesus came and did for us? As we say, "Jesus, here I am. How can I serve you?" Our son Joel, number 3, he said one day, he was about 17 in Japan, he said he saw so many people supporting us, coming on short-term teams, we're starting a new church, building a new building, and all these American Christians would give. He said, "Dad, I know Danny and Jonathan, who's preaching tomorrow, want to go be missionaries or pastors. I think some of us need to be multimillionaires to support all this." and that was Joel's vision. I mean, he was an entrepreneur from when he was a little kid. When he was about 10 years old, he had grandma bring a bunch of blow pops from Sam's. And he sold them. He bought them for 4 cents a piece, and he sold them for 40 cents a piece in Japan, you know, and it must be illegal, you know. Always making money, he said, "Dad, if I get this, they charge so much to string tennis rackets in Japan. If you help me buy this machine for stringing tennis rackets for $100, and I can, you know, I can string them, and I can pay you back after about 4 rackets, you know." And we did that. He has a real racket going, you know, Joel. And he said, "Dad, you know, they charge $100 to pierce ears in Japan. I can buy this machine to pierce ears." "No, Joel, we're not going to do that." You know, he's 12 years old or something, you know. But and today, Joel and his wife, you know, he owns Monday Night Brewing in Atlanta. He and a bunch of friends, they started a brewery. They got 85 employees. He's doing that vision. Am I allowed to say that at this church? Some PCA churches, you know, If I tell them my son owns a brewery, they'll cut off our support. So that's okay here, Chad? Am I all right here? Okay. Yeah, some PCA churches nowadays, they raise our support. It's good beer, you know. Monday Night Brewing, look it up, you know. But we need people like that in the world who say, this is my part to be radical givers. In some ways, we have a going problem, but we have a sending problem too, of needing it. And all of us are part of that together. Think, how do we model a missional heart? I appreciate my dad so much. He's 92, and he was a pastor. Actually, Ray and Diane went and worked with my dad for a year one time when they were during right after seminary or during seminary. And he affected me so much. I remember as a kid, he took in a fellow who was struggling with drugs, terrible background, and he was at our house, and my dad and mom were loving him, feeding him, discipling him. And then he stole from us, stole our family's money, ran away. My dad, would he have been just to call the police and have him put in jail? He would have been. But instead he went and found him and brought him back to our house. Loved him, kept discipling. He hid our money a little better after that, you know. But that we think about the effect. And my son preaching tomorrow morning, that my dad taking it seriously, the grandkids, to pray for them, John, who will be here tomorrow, went up, worked with my dad in the inner city, Newark, New Jersey, for 6 or 8 months. Part of his formation when he was a young guy. Some of us were called to go. Lady from Florida, Anne Marie, she at a missions conference like this, she said, my husband, he died, went to heaven. I'm pretty free. I could come to Japan for a year. She came to Japan for a year to serve. She shared the gospel through English classes with more people than she ever had in her life. She said she was 70 years old. She stayed a second year, then a third year, then a fourth year. And it was so wonderful for her, and it was so wonderful what she was able to do. How's God might use you? So many healthy, retired people in our churches, our PCA churches. How might you serve? How might God use you? I told you it was a young girl that God used to help reach Commander Fuchida. Remember Commander Fuchida? I had his picture. A young girl was part of him coming to faith. It's a great story. It's in a book called Wounded Tiger. So this family, the Cavill family, were missionaries in Japan. And there's Peggy in the middle. And as the war drums are beating, and the family had to flee Japan, but Peggy grew up there, a little kid, like our kids did, and they fled to Philippines because it wasn't until after Pearl Harbor that Japan attacked the Philippines and took over the Philippines. But Peggy, by then, had gone off to college in America, and her family stayed in the Philippines, were doing their mission work in the Philippines, and she gets the word that the Japanese soldiers had found her parents and had killed her parents in the Philippines because they were Americans. So Peggy, devastated, of course, a young lady, devastated by losing her parents to the people, the country that they had grown up serving as missionaries in the Philippines, you know. And Peggy, there, she hears the word, she hears a report, an announcement. They have a call for volunteers who know Japanese to work in the hospital where they have Japanese prisoners of war. And guess who volunteers to go serve the Japanese prisoners of war from the country that killed her mom and dad? Peggy. She volunteers, she goes, and she serves. She's fluent in Japanese. She loves and serves. Anybody think she loved those soldiers perfectly? She's a sinner. She's a new creation in Christ on mission. She loved them. She served them. And guess who one of them was? Commander Fuchida's mechanic from the attack on Pearl Harbor. And so after the war, he's repatriated to Japan. He goes and finds his commander, Fuchida. You can see the next slide. And he goes and he tells Commander Fuchida, among other things, you wouldn't believe this young lady, this young girl, I bet we killed her parents. and she loved us and served us. Why? Because Jesus came and loved her, served her all the way to the cross. He died on the cross for us. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he calls us, as this great verse, John 20, as the Father has sent me, could we say the last part together? Even so, I am sending you. He calls, he loves us. Maybe tonight, would you meet him and know his love for you? He's saying, I'm here to rescue you. Maybe tonight's the night to come back to him. And for us to go on mission with him individually and as a church and as families with our kids and our grandkids as we talk about taking our resources and use them for the kingdom to take this good news of Jesus our Savior to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, that you have come to seek and to save the lost. That's us. That's me. That's every one of us in here. And it's grace if we know how lost we are, how much we deserve your wrath, but you've given us grace, and we praise your name. Help us today to receive that again, to be thankful and excited for what you have done to come and find us and save us. And Lord, would you show each of us our call, our part, young, old, men, women, married, single, how might you use us and our wallets, our going, serving on short-term mission trips. There's so many ways to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Would you lead us, we pray, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to help support the local body of Seven Rivers, please visit our website at sevenrivers.org.